Welcome to the February 2014 installment of Industrial Heating's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast, underwritten by Solar Manufacturing, leaders in the design and manufacture of leading technology vacuum furnaces for a wide variety of thermal processes. Solar Manufacturing, the brightest minds in vacuum heat treat equipment, on the web at www.solarmfg.com. This month's podcast focuses on a unique and timely high-pressure quenching problem currently being faced by many vacuum heat treaters. The first voice you'll hear is that of Jim Nagy, president of Solar Manufacturing. Jim will introduce his regular guest, Bill Jones, CEO of Solar Manufacturing and Solar Atmospheres and ASM Fellow, as well as a special guest. And now, here's Jim Nagy.
This month, we are going to discuss a troubling topic to many vacuum heat treaters, and especially to those who practice high-pressure gas quenching, and that is the problem of a nationwide shortage and rationing of helium. This is not so much a technical problem as it is a commercial problem. Here to help us work through this topic, I have with me our regular contributor to these podcasts, Bill Jones, CEO of the Solar Atmospheres family of companies, and special guest Bob Hill, president of Solar Atmospheres of Western Pennsylvania. Bill and Bob, welcome.
As usual, Jim, we appreciate your comments and thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Pleasure to be here.
So today's topic is the shortage and rationing of helium, and specifically, helium used for high-pressure gas quenching. Bill, before we unearth the current problem of helium availability, perhaps you could take a minute and tell us why vacuum heat treaters use helium for high-pressure gas quenching. What are the advantages over using nitrogen or argon?
Let me speak about nitrogen first. Nitrogen is the gas of choice and has been ever since the inception of the commercial vacuum furnace. And the major reason is the cost of nitrogen is approximately 60 cents per 100 cubic feet. And helium, the cost is approximately $30 per 100 cubic feet. That's an astounding price difference. So right off, the use of helium has to be very justified before you even make that consideration. Now, what is it about helium that makes us consider these advantages? Helium has better thermal conductivity, and it has lower gas density as compared to nitrogen, and particularly compared to argon. So what this means is that we can operate the vacuum furnace in better conditions. That is, we can overspeed our gas blowers and we can get better cooling rates, both because of the improved helium thermal conductivity and the fact that we can make a more efficient use of the gas blowers. They're the principal reasons comparing nitrogen to helium. Let me speak for a moment about argon. We would use argon, and of course, we use argon or helium wherever we have issues with reactive metallurgy, that is, titanium or materials containing nitridable alloys. So, why don't we use argon? The problem with argon is a very heavy gas, has a heavy gas density. And because of that, it requires more motor power from our gas blowers. And of course, argon has lower thermal conductivity characteristics, which means putting these two things together, argon is the least cooling gas with consideration to nitrogen or helium. So they're the major difference between the gases. And obviously, the advantage of helium is the choice. But I'll let Bob address that issue.
Bob, I know your heat treating plant in Western Pennsylvania has many very large vacuum furnaces, which have consumed huge amounts of helium over the last decade. So what is the current situation with helium? How did we as an industry find ourselves in this predicament?
Yes, Jim. In Western PA, we did have a great appetite for the use of helium. It's a wonderful cooling gas, as Bill has mentioned. However, currently, our present gas supplier and all the other major gas suppliers have their customers under a force majeure act, which actually breaks our contract with our gas supplier and allows us to go out to the open market to buy helium on our own. We found out just recently, we've been curtailed from 80% to 70%, and currently we're at 40% curtailment. So we decided to go out and try to shop it, and we could not get any gas supplier to provide us with helium.
But what's the cause of the shortage?
Well, Jim, the main cause is the United States Bureau of Land Management down in Texas has the world's largest supply of helium in one location. It supplies almost 40% of the world's needs of helium. That supply is a finite supply. They're not producing helium. It's a storage facility, and they're selling it to the open market on a contrived basis. That supply has been declining. Also, the price of natural gas, with the fracking of natural gas that's in Northeast Pennsylvania and Northeast Ohio, the prices have gone down considerably for natural gas. And as you know, helium is a byproduct of natural gas. So with those prices going down, they have some wells over in places such as Algeria and Qatar and Russia that they can no longer compete keeping those deep wells for natural gas and getting a byproduct of helium out of those wells. They can no longer compete with the price of natural gas. So it's kind of like a perfect storm that's arriving.
Are the gas companies actively looking for ways to find new sources?
Yes, Jim. The newest domestic source that actually just opened in Wyoming is a source named Riley Ridge. And once it's running at full tilt, that will provide about 15% of the world's needs. There's also a new proprietary technology of extracting helium from carbon dioxide. And that facility is in Doe Canyon, Colorado, and that's not going to be online until around 2015. So when they project another 15% of the world's needs with that facility, but that technology has not been proven as of yet.
So Bob, given the shortage of helium, what are the alternatives?
Well, we're asking our preferred furnace manufacturer, Solar Manufacturing, to look at better cooling methods for the vacuum furnace. We currently have a 20 bar vacuum furnace that we do not even have helium hooked up to that furnace. We are using nitrogen, and we are getting the same results with 20 bar nitrogen as we were at 10 bar helium. So going higher pressure and also looking at the overall design of the vacuum furnace is most important to us. Just recently, I made the decision to pull the helium out of our facility, so we do not have any molecules of helium at all in Hermitage, PA.
Well, the all-important question is, what about metallurgical results? Without helium, how can heat treaters achieve the same properties to satisfy their customers?
Again, with the higher pressure gases and better cooling designs, we are meeting the same cooling rates used with the lighter gas of helium with high pressure nitrogen.
Bill, I'll ask this question of you. What does the future look like? Do you ever see the availability of helium returning to plentiful levels again?
Well, as Bob has alluded, there are certainly the possibilities of newer or uncovered gas wells. There is helium in some of the gas wells here in the United States, and there may be others that we're not aware of that possibly could be brought online. So there should be a search put on for gas wells here in the United States that might produce helium. I might point out that helium is not generated in the same way at all as, let's say, nitrogen or argon, where they compress it out of air. They call these plants air reduction plants. That is not the way helium is manufactured. Helium might be called separated or manufactured, as we've already alluded, from the natural gas, which comes out of oil wells just as well. So there's the possibility of new gas wells, and we can just leave it at that. Now, what might the availability be? And I can't see anything within, say, the next 5 years, unless there are things going on that we just don't know. And of course, we don't. We're not in the gas business. We are a user of gas, and so we don't. We just don't have all the knowledge about that as we might. Let me touch on another point, though. And Bob already has alluded to this. We already have designed this 20-bar furnace for using nitrogen, which will compete with helium. Now, we have done that with a lot of improvements. The operating at positive pressure is only one part of the equation. The other part of the equation is improved gas flow designs around the hot zone itself, and in making the hot zone of a lower thermal mass and doing any number of things like that. So the future for us is to develop new furnaces that will incorporate features that we don't currently have in our existing designs. We have such designs on the drawing boards. They've not been built and they haven't been tested, but our plans are underway.
Thanks for listening, and plan on listening to the April 2014 installment for more practical vacuum furnace operating and maintenance information. Solar Manufacturing is the company bringing you this helpful information. Solar would like to have the opportunity to work with you on your current or future vacuum furnace needs. That can include new furnace design, construction and installation, rebuilding hot zones, or rebuilding entire furnace systems. Trust Solar Manufacturing, the brightest minds in vacuum heat treating equipment. On the web at www.solarmfg.com. Thanks for listening.